whether yeah, so it's fear or whatever it might be.
Right.
So explain that a little bit more.
So everybody, they start out, there's an interest, but interest doesn't necessarily equal opportunity. Opportunity means I need to have a conversation. I need to get them to come see me. I need to turn that lead into an opportunity.
Okay.
So in our business, in the fitness industry, the opportunity comes from them actually showing up.
Right. That makes sense. So like you're doing some lead gen, whether it's postcards or, you know, Facebook ads, whatever it is, say, hey, come in for your free 3-day pass or whatever it is.
Yep.
Or take 10 pounds off or before, you know, beach
whatever
season.
Whatever you do to get them to raise their hand.
Right. And then, and I think that's a lot of things people miss is like, now you got to convert them to actually get it just to show up in front of you.
Right. Yeah. And here's the other thing. There's a lot of stuff out there. Oh, we can get you X amount of leads. Cool. But what do you do with those leads? Mm. Because if you don't convert them and you don't get them to the opportunity stage, you may never see them again.
Yep.
You may not. So you really got to have a high conversion rate from lead to opportunity. So that's an important piece. And then the second part is whether it's a fear or whatever it might be, it's about understanding what it is that's important to them and knowing what their objections are going to be before they come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the reason I talked about their goal is because that's motivation and commitment. That's an obstacle. Well, can I do month to month? Do I have to do it today? Well, I don't know if it's that important to me. That's an obstacle. Significant other's an obstacle. Schedule's an obstacle. Location's an obstacle. This is our industry. You have specific obstacles for your industry. Mm-hmm. They come up all the time. Why wait until the end to try to overcome that when you know what it's going to be? This blew my mind in our industry. Everybody would wait. Here it comes. I'm going to wait for them to say they got to check their schedule. Why? You know they're going to say it. So before they train, before they do anything, I'm going to go, hey, listen, does this work in your schedule? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Before you show price or any of that stuff. So that's important for other industries and other businesses to understand what are those things that hold people back from doing business with you? Get those answered before they try your product.
Yeah.
Once they try it, now they're expecting to be sold and they're not going to give you good answers. They're not going to give you honest answers. Buyers are liars. When money's on the table, they will lie to you. Oh, I got to check my schedule. You got to check it. Get your phone out. I know it's in your phone. You're one of two things. Either you're very busy and you have a very tight schedule, which means it's on your phone, or you're not busy and you don't got to check anything because you're not busy. So, you know, it's a bunch of BS.
Yep.
So they try it out. Now, 4 is about recommending a program or an option that solves whatever problem it is they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making a recommendation. You know, Seth Godin calls, there was a book, Seth Godin. I know you guys are familiar with him. I love his stuff. He had a book that he wrote called Permission Marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I call this permission selling because I'm asking you if it's okay to now recommend a program based on everything you've experienced so far. Location works, schedule's awesome, your significant other's supportive and going to be behind you. You got very strong reasons for doing it. You tried the workout. You loved it. So if I can show you a membership option that's affordable and fits in your budget, would you like to take advantage of it on day one? I don't care if they got a 5-day pass or what they got.
Yes.
All the planets are lined up. Can I recommend something for you? Give me permission. And see, the thing is, when they give you the permission, now they're open. They're not going, okay, show me the money, man.
You've given them the power of choice to move forward or not.
They feel in control.
Exactly.
But you're in control. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can control a situation by seemingly not controlling it, that's a very powerful thing.
That's very, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's hit your little back 30 seconds button on your podcast app and listen to that again. Cause you might have to hit it twice, but that's an important point. And a lot of people are scared to do that. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of new salespeople are scared to do that because you're like, oh my God, what if they say no? Well, they're going to say no anyway if you don't do it.
Right.
Because they're going to come up again.
Yeah. Because they're going to, you're just going to, you know, you're going to get to the end and they're going to say no and you won't know why. You got to have these checkpoints along the way.
I just had this happen. So one of our top salespeople in our organization at Farrell's, I'll give her a little shout out. Her name's Shan Conway. She's amazing. When I tell you she's an amazing salesperson, for the last 4 weeks, her
show. Now you're going to throw her under the bus, right?
No. Okay. You can't throw this girl under the bus because she's amazing. But her show up rate, she's had 100% show up rate for 3 weeks, and she had a 90% show up rate on another week. And I'm not talking about two appointments and that. I'm talking multiple double-digit appointments. Amazing, amazing salesperson. But here's what happened. Somebody came in. They tried the program out. And you got to understand their prospects. They have fears. They have apprehensions. They've been judged. They don't know if they can do it. And this girl was doing the workout and had a panic attack.
Mm.
And it rattled her a little bit. Okay. So she continued with the work. She went to the bathroom, came back, continued with the workout, finished it, loved everything. Even though she had the panic attack, she loved everything and was like, you know what? Show me the membership options. And so Shannon shows her the membership option. And here comes the excuse train. Okay, yep, let me see if it's in my budget. Let me see this, let me see that. And Shannon started judging based on what had happened. Well, if I try to push, maybe she'll have another panic attack. Maybe she started creating all these judgments of what might happen if I do this.
Right.
When the reality is, if somebody has a panic attack, if that doesn't tell you they need it more than anything, they're that scared. You know what I mean? Like, so again, it's they judge the outcome. It happens even to good salespeople.
Sure.
You start to judge this outcome when you really just need to make sure that you're following a process and sticking with it, you know? So it's very, very important to understand that. Don't judge the outcome. Do it.
Yeah.
And you'll also see it's not as scary as it seems when you start doing it. You know, I don't know. I don't want to call people because they're going to yell at me, hang up on me. What's the worst they're going to do? Probably hang up on me. Okay. I just did this with another salesperson. I said, how many times you been hung up on, dude? He's like, 10. I was like, 10? 10, like this week or today? He goes, no, like forever. I go, forever. Forever, dude. What are you kidding me? That's like not even having it happen to you, man. What the hell are you scared of? Just get over it. Come on, let's go. It ain't even happening to you. And but you start to project it. You start to think, I'm prejudging the outcome, you know? Yeah. So you gotta just deal with what's in front of you and not judge what might happen.
In her situation, that was probably out of the ordinary. You know, somebody had a panic attack. You know,
totally. Like,
there's certain things you don't prepare for. There's probably a lot of things that you do prepare for, but that's probably one of those things that kind of out of the ordinary.
It throws you for a little, or a prospect will say an objection, mm-hmm. that they'll say it just a different way. And it throws people way off. And I'm like, this is the exact same thing as saying, I got to talk to my husband.
Yeah. Right.
It's the same thing, but they said it in a different way.
In a different way.
It threw you off. But same thing.
Yeah, I had a conversation this week with a Verizon excellent salesperson, and I always appreciate it. I'm not one of those guys that'll hang up on salespeople if they are good at what they do. When they're lousy at what they do, then I don't mind. I don't have a problem hanging up on them. But this one was pain. Yeah, right, exactly. We need to like put them out of their misery. But but this one was really good. First of all, she provided value beforehand before she started selling in the conversation by being helpful. But man, she was really good because what she was offering in her sales approach was basically a protection coverage for all of your, not only all of our Apple devices, which we have nothing but Apple and Macs in our household.
Yeah.
So it was a protection plan. I said, well, listen, we already have AppleCare. So how are you going to be any different? I mean, it's like adding a layer of protection on to something I already have. And she's like, well, it'll protect in addition to your Apple products, it'll protect your TVs and all, you know, you have smart, if you have smart TVs and stuff. I'm like, you know, I don't really think I need that. And, but she was really good. She was like, well, she started, you know, basically going through the, it's like, she went to almost take no for an answer. I'm like, you know, you're really good at what you do, because she followed, she didn't every, it's like everything I said, she had an answer for. And, yeah. And it wasn't like contrived. I mean, it wasn't like some, you know, BS contrived answer. It was like really legitimate. And I was impressed with her. And I even told her, even though I didn't make a decision there, I was like, you know, let me think about this and read all the fine details, because I feel like I'm buying something I don't need, but you've made it sound like something that I might do, you know, but obviously she lost there because she didn't get the sale on the spot.
You're killing her worse than anybody. Hanging up on her wouldn't have been a bad, because it's like, you're a great salesman, but I'm not buying from you.
That's the worst.
That's the worst, dude. Yeah.
You know? Great, like, great presentation. Oh, Eric, that was a presentation. But here's the thing. Appreciate it.
If she's ever about to get fired, they can just, all those calls are recorded. So they just play the conversation. Yeah. And she did a good job.
The thing is, it's like, why would you want that? See, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Why would you want extended coverage?
Right. Yeah. That's what I asked. And but so, she made some legitimate arguments. If I had certain other devices, but as I tried to explain to her, you know, almost everything we use is Apple and it's under Apple Care. So I was like, I don't think I need that, you know? Yeah. So,
I mean, but, there are some people,
but she left me wondering if my Apple Care protection did cover everything. You know, I started questioning that, if I, you know, Apple Care was the right way to go. That's based on what they offered. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where she needed to get a little deeper.
Yeah. If she sensed that, she could have really dug into that. And
yeah, she could have dug in really, really well. Because I was starting.
So if you're staying on the phone, that tells me on some level you have an interest in something better.
Absolutely.
Right? Or you're not staying on the phone. You don't have time to be messing around and having, you know, some kind of chat with somebody randomly.
Right.
You're staying on the phone for a reason. Something intrigued you about your Apple Care that maybe there's some kind of little opening
catch.
There.
Yeah, there's a catch.
100%.
Because everybody, my time's valuable, her time's valuable. And usually I'll tell salespeople right up front, if they call, I'll just say, listen, man, not only is my time valuable, but I feel like your time is valuable as a salesperson, and we don't need to go any further. You need to be making other calls.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing, Jonathan, let me ask you something real quick. If there's one thing about Apple Care that you would like to improve, what would it be?
I don't know. Cause I mean, I've never, you know, I don't really know what I would improve, because I don't know. I just feel like it's, you know, some of that added protect. It's like life insurance.
What about this?
What would I improve about life insurance? Missing
from it? I don't know. Do you think it's your other devices? Like, what do you think's missing from it? Like, what happens if you lose your TV? Is Apple Care covering that?
No, because it's not an Apple TV.
So here's the thing, I would think that, you know what, you're a smart dude. But if you lose your TV, Apple TV doesn't mean jack anything, because you got to have a TV. I'm the same way. I got Apple everything. Although my refrigerator, it's a Samsung. It's got the whole TV. You could talk to it. It's connected to the Ring doorbell. I love technology stuff.
That's crazy.
I'm all about home automation. I don't care if the government's watching me. I could care less. I love it. I like being able to
streamline. Yeah.
Yeah. I like being able to see what's inside my fridge from my phone. I like being able to tell my faucet to turn on by just saying, hey, turn on. I love that stuff. So I don't care about that, but it doesn't connect to Apple. None of that stuff. Yeah. You got to have an app and all this stuff. It's not Apple TV. Right. So you could find a way in through that, because maybe what I would do is I would find out, hey, those things aren't covered through Apple. And if you could cover all of the things that Apple Care covers, plus these additional things, and it didn't cost you anything else, it just adds some more peace of mind to everything else you got going on.
Yep.
And I'm not saying cancel Apple Care. I would never say that.
I think in my mind, it's always like Apple never goes down in value. Like their products last forever, or so it seems. Everything else seems to just give out like after a year. So I'm like, what the point? You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Aflac has made an entire business on what regular health insurance does not cover.
Right.
Oh yeah. Right? All the problems that pop up when you use your health insurance, that does exactly what it says they'll do. So my guess is there's probably something like that Verizon could be using that says, hey, because half their customers are probably Apple people, right? I mean, probably a good chunk of them.
Maybe more.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so, hopefully they would take that back to a manager or something like that and be like, this was an objection I couldn't get past. Let's do some research on Apple Care. Yeah. And that's going to happen, right, Eric? I mean, you're going to hear something that you don't have an answer for. But the difference between a good salesperson and great salesperson is they're going to go home that night and they're going to research and they're going to figure out. They're going to read through everything on Apple Care and find that one thing that is beyond reasonable doubt and be like, I'm going to use that every time I hear the word Apple Care.
Yep.
And yeah, she could have said something like, oh, by the way, did you know Apple Care doesn't, here's one thing.
Cover lightning. It doesn't cover lightning.
Right.
Or there's a lot of times with these insurance companies, what they do is, I know because this happened to me. I had my previous address, we got robbed, broken, robbed. We had coverage on everything, right? And they're like, oh, well, that video camera, we're going to give you X percent. And I'm like, what, X percent? What do you mean X percent, man? The thing was freaking $1,000. You're not giving me $200 for it. It was $1,000. I got the receipts and everything. No, we're going to give you X percent. And then you got to buy it first before we pay you. So maybe there's something in there where I can look at this Apple Care deal and go, okay, here's the thing with Apple Care. You have to actually go out and go out of pocket. Where with us, if something happens, we send you a check. I don't know that's the reality of things, but I'm just saying there's something there. They have a competitive advantage on some level. You don't even know what that is right now, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give her 2 pints as a salesperson.
Well, now that you say this, I probably should give her maybe 1 pint. 1.5 to 2.
Call her back and say, you know what? I got to tell you something. I said you were good. You're not good.
You need to do some homework.
That's right. Yes. That's right. You should have drilled in on this Apple Care thing. Cause
you need to step your game up. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the, I'm sure you've seen the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, where the classic scene.
I've seen every sales movie there is.
The scene that always sticks out to me is the Al Pacino scene where he's like running that, the manager down the road near the end of the movie, but he tells him, he's trying to work out a guy that's basically having buyer's remorse, and the manager just runs his mouth off and kills the sale basically. And he turns to the guy and he said, you never open your mouth until you know the shot. Right. And so
that's it.
That's a good lesson in any sales approach.
You know, what's funny about Glengarry Glen Ross. So I know, I mean, I'm like, I could line for line a lot of stuff in that movie. Inside my membership sales academy, I actually have the clip of Alec Baldwin doing the little speech for the salespeople.
Right.
And in 2021, all the things he's saying in there, it's cancel out type stuff, So I had to go back and find like a clean version. And I'm like, man, 90% of what he's saying isn't even coming through right now. I don't know if this is going to resonate as much as it is, because he just went like ballistic on those guys. Right. And that's like, if you've never been in a sales environment, and I think it's like, so my biological father grew up, was a drill sergeant in the army.
Okay.
I never got along with the guy, cause he tried to deal with me like he's a drill sergeant. But he was old school, Vietnam type stuff. So like you don't want to listen, he'll fight you. Like that's just how he handled stuff,
Sure.
It's all changed. And I think in sales too, like it's one of those things like back in the day, man, like it's like abusive, but when you get to a level Like Al Pacino in that movie, when they were doing the sales meeting, he wasn't even there.
Right.
And no, it's like, you know,
he didn't need to
what
be.
Are you going to say to him? You going to fire him? I don't think so. Because he's the top guy.
That's right. Yep.
One of the things with sales that's such an awesome, awesome thing. And what I loved about sales was it gave me freedom. You are never going to fire me, even if you hate me. And I've had I've had owners and managers that hated me for whatever reason. I don't listen well. I do my own thing, but I close sales.
Yep.
So I got to put up with this guy. And, you know, I had one sales manager 1 year who I never showed up to these sales meetings on time. I hated him because what I got to do, I got to tell all these other guys who suck how I'm doing so well and try to teach them something. I ain't getting paid off. I'm not eating off of what's on their plate. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather do a meeting than deal with you guys for an hour and listen to your crap. But he sat me down and his name was Wayne Gordon. He said, "Hey, listen, Eric, I'm never going to fire you. But what you're doing is you're telling everybody else that this isn't important."
Right.
And for them it is. It's not important for you because you don't need it. But I need you to be there as a leader. And I was like, man, that's a sales manager who's a great sales manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's not one of those guys that sucked at selling and ended up being a sales manager like a lot of them are. Ended up being, you know, he really just, and I was like, man, I got to show up then. I got to be on time and I got to do those things. But yeah, that's one of the things I love about sales. When you can close sales, you have a lot of freedom with things.
Yep. Yep.
Because who's going to fire a guy who's selling?
You're the rainmaker.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know,
you deal
with it. We got to hit 0.5. So we haven't hit step 5 yet. So
yep.
I'm taking notes. We haven't hit step 5. So we need to do that before we wrap up.
Well, here's you know what's interesting about that? Is hopefully you never get to 5.
Okay.
Because if you make a recommendation and they buy, 5 doesn't even show up.
Very nice.
So the interesting part about not really getting to it is hopefully you don't have to get to it. Getting to 5 is about dealing
with. So if you're getting to 5, you're looking for another occupation, right?
Not necessarily. Because sometimes they'll tell you, oh, my husband's so supportive of it. And then, oh, I got to talk to my husband at the end.
Yeah.
Because now money, you know, my husband's supportive to a point. Now you're asking me to pay XYZ amount. He's going to flip out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And vice versa. I don't want to get, you know.
The objections, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to have people going, oh, yeah, well, you got to talk to your husband. It could be either way. You could talk to your wife too, okay? You could talk to your girlfriend. You could talk to your turtle. You know, I saw a CarMax commercial with the guy who's got to talk to his turtle. And I was like, if that isn't dead on for what people say, I don't know what is. Somebody's got to talk to somebody. But it happens sometimes. So that fifth step is about dealing with those sales obstacles that still might come up. There still might be a little bit of hesitation about moving forward. There still might be a fear about doing whatever it is that you're offering and that not working or not succeeding at it. In our industry, it's huge because like I said earlier, they've typically failed at this goal before. Mm-hmm. So when you failed at something before, you have a history of failure. You don't think, oh, well, I'm going to be successful now because I failed. I talked about my book, Failing English Twice. It's one of the things that held me back from writing a book.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a natural thing. So there's a natural hesitancy sometimes at the end, even with everything else lined up. And you still have to answer that.
Yeah, I've told my copywriters that. Like, I think that's one of the biggest thing a lot of copywriters miss is that it's not about the product. It's always about the prospect, right? I mean, sometimes it's about the product if the product just sucks.
Yeah.
But usually it's about the prospect and the fact, especially if the older your avatar gets, the more this is true.
Mm-hmm.
They failed at things. They haven't succeeded at things. And now they think it's not just bad products. They think it's they're faulty.
Mm-hmm.
They're messed up. And if you don't cover that, and that's why probably the most successful line in marketing is it's not your fault. It works so well.
It works in sales too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We use it's part of the sales process on the front end of it. Because one of the things I'm going to ask you on step 2 is what have you tried in the past to accomplish this goal And they're going to say, well, I tried diet pills. I don't, I'm just using random something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why hasn't that worked for you? Well, because of X, Y, Z. Okay. So you're not a nutritionist, I would assume, right?
Right.
No, I'm not. You're not a pharmacologist. I don't even know if that's a real thing. I just made that. I just said that because it sounds like
a cool word, though.
Sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you don't know what to prescribe yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's not your fault that you failed. You don't know what the hell you're doing. You know, you're trying, but it's not your fault not knowing. And that's one of those things. Oh, my God, this guy, you know, gets me.
Mm-hmm.
It really ain't my fault. It's like trying to diagnose or prescribe. It's like these people who go on the internet. My wife loves doing this. Google. Oh, here's what the problem is. Google, go. You know, and I'm like, every time she says something, I'm like, God, oh, you did your Google homework, right? You know, like,
yeah.
She's a therapist. You know, it's like she's a very well educated person, but she pulls this Google stuff out, and I'm like, I'm not. You can't. You need an expert. Don't tell me what you read on Google, okay? You know, it's one of those things. But, you know, what have you tried in the past and why it hasn't worked is a big, big deal. And you use that. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault. It really isn't. They're trying their butts off.
Yep. There's a in coaching. I do some coaching as well. And one of the core beliefs you have to have as a good coach is people are doing the best they can. If they could do better, they would.
Yeah.
And like, you have to really like believe that, even if they seem like they're lazy, like, well, they're lazy because that's the best they can do. Cause maybe the way they were raised, the parents they had, like, you know, maybe they just never been taught discipline. Maybe they've never been taught these things that you just take for granted. So if you can see them as 100%, and I think this is really important in sales. If you can see them as 100% complete, you know, maybe some flaws, but absolutely perfect human being for what they've been through and where they are, you can have a lot of empathy and you can just honestly see, okay, well, obviously, of course you haven't lost weight yet, you know, sure, because of this, this, or this.
Right.
100%.
And you can have this empathy and you can get this like heart to heart connection instead of this just tactic technique connection, which is the same thing in great copy, right? It's like
that's the art.
Yeah, that's the art part of the science. Exactly.
The science is the fundamentals of knowing the steps. The yep. art is that connection piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you've ever looked at true, I'm talking like art that moves you. And I have. I've seen Renoir's up close. I've seen Picasso's paintings that literally give you, it's hard to, I'm not like an art connoisseur, but I've experienced artwork that has literally moved me from looking at it.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's emotion in it. There's feeling in it. There's science in it too. But that heart piece that you just talked about,
yeah,
that is the difference between a painting that is worth nothing and a painting that a country would have to finance.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing in a movie that has basically the same plot, but the acting really taps into the heart as opposed to just kind of B-level actors that are just going through the motions and following the script, right? Like you just feel, or even like the way you edit, you know, I love watching American Idol, and like every episode, the last, you know, the last one on each episode is going to be a tearjerker, right? Cause they got to get you coming back. And like, I'm a sucker. Like every single time I'm like the backstory and the way they edit the way the producers put everything together and tell their story and the backstory, it's like, I'm just so proud that these people have decided to step out and go after their dream, that it just gets me all like teary eyed and lumping a throat. And I'm like, whew, man, these Texas allergies are ridiculous. It's like, but you know, it's
like, no, babe, it's allergies, man. No, you don't have any allergies. Stop it. You're crying.
You know. And it's like, but you could tell the same story dry and without.
Oh, sure.
And it does nothing.
Right.
And like you said, sales is the same way. You've got to learn the science, but then as you get experience, as you get wisdom, which only comes from experience of sitting face to face, belly to belly, then that's the level it comes out. And that's when you go from, you know, 25% close rate to 50, 60, you know, whatever 70, percent.
80, 90. We have crazy numbers. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that too, because one of the things that happens when you start talking to people about the real reasons why they want to lose 20 pounds or 30 or whatever it might be, there's emotional attachment to it. And there's tears that come.
Absolutely.
And that throws salespeople off. The first time they experience that, they're like,
they don't know what to do.
What the hell do I do? They're crying. I'm definitely not getting a sale. I made them cry. When the reality is you will, that's even, you know, not that you're trying to make people cry, but you're trying to make people to tap that emotion that makes that goal important.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like that reason for wanting to do business with
you. Because, I've got a friend who's a, he's actually a bariatric surgeon. So he talks about that with weight loss, but he talks about the emotion behind it. Cause he went, you know, whenever he interviews, people that are, you know, looking to have surgery, you know, that's the thing that he asked them is, why do you want to lose the weight? And he taps into those stories. And it get and they get emotional. I mean, it's like, I just want to be able to walk my, you know, granddaughter or my daughter down the aisle, or I want to hold my grandkids. And that's like that he hones in on that. You know, like, why is that important? And then they get, he's like, almost every time they get teary eyed just talking about, it's usually something personal and family related.
It's always that. It's always personal. It's always same. And it's interesting too, because I mentioned that one of the things, you know, that, that selling a membership is extremely difficult. We're talking about something very personal to them. And then at the end, we're talking about money.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about a cell phone. We're not talking about a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
We're talking about two things that most people don't want to talk about. You know what I mean? So that's one of the things that makes it difficult. But again, when you have a process in place, and you know, the one that I've developed over the last 30 years, it's from experience of getting, of being in front of people, seeing the reaction, like you mentioned, you know, in a good comedy routine, like, oh, that worked, or I'm never saying that again. And you know, that got an egg thrown at me, or whatever, whatever they're throwing nowadays, all of those things. You can, it's like a cumulative experience that you go, this is how this needs to go.
Sure.
And then you're going to tweak some things here and there as it pans out, you know, but that is just, you know, one of those things where it's just so important. We've mentioned it a bunch of times, of just being in front of people and having that experience and really getting down to what it is. What is the reason why they want your service? Copywriting, sales, what? It's the same thing. Why that ad has to speak to what it is they're trying to accomplish and or avoid.
Right.
You know? Absolutely. And in their words, not in your own words. Like it's gotta be what's on their mind. So.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Eric, I think you may have hit the new the longest episode. Like I think we probably went over pretty close.
Yeah. I do that all the, you know, every podcast I'm on, I tend to do that. I don't know what, you know, it is, but so
you're just passionate, man. You're just passionate.
I tend to do that, man.
That's and you good know,
another thing, we tend to be one of the top episodes. So I'm really counting on this to go to the top.
I like it.
I'm gonna be looking for when it's released, and I'm gonna be going nuts. I gotta be on the top, man. We gotta do something about that. So
we gotta ask, how do people find out more about you, and how do they get your book?
Amazon.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Jeff Bezos. Book,
not you, right? They can't order you.
I mean, you know, I gotta hook my man Jeff Bezos up with some dough. He's hurting right now.
Yeah,
I think he's like, you know, number one richest guy ever in the history of economics. So
he may have slipped a notch. He may be number two. Which
You know what was funny? One of the successful ads that I ran was ripping on Jeff Bezos a little bit. It was like, hey, If you go to Amazon and get this, it's going to cost you $20. Mm-hmm. But I'm about to give it to you for $6. And I know I'm probably going to make Jeff Bezos mad because I sell a lot of books through him. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll be okay. And it's kind of a, you know, little funny thing. But that was a copywriting thing that worked out well for me. An interesting thing about copywriting and sales is they're not super different.
Nope.
If you understand motivation and why people want to do things, a lot of it really is about selling, but there are some differences that you really got to understand. But
with copy, you got to go through the conversation kind of in advance and kind of pre.
Yeah.
Which you have to do in sales too, but you can let it unfold in real time. And copy, you have to kind of plan for it because you're not going to get the other half of the conversation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so you can find Eric at sellingmemberships.com. His book, The Art of Selling Memberships, is on amazon.com. It's a fairly new site, amazon.com. If you haven't heard of it, just look it up. Got all kinds of cool stuff there. And I think you'll just search for Art of Selling Memberships, and there will be Eric Charles Russell, number one bestseller, international number
one
bestseller.
And here's the thing. We were ranked number 30 in sales and business sales when we started today.
Yeah.
So when this goes out, we're going to see where we end up.
You're back to number one for sure.
Let's do it.
I mean, our one listener, they're passionate. They'll buy like six, they'll buy at least 50 copies. So
if they're from like some, you know, random country,
lose Eric. Maybe. His screen's blank.
No, he's there. You went blank, but he's there, Jonathan.
So. Oh, there we go.
Don't be blaming your blank on my me. Come on.
All right, Jonathan.
Oh, yeah, Amazon. You can go to ericcharlesrussell.com. Also, all that stuff.
Okay.
I'm out there. You can find me.
We'll post it, and Instagram. I'll send you a link once we get this out.
YouTube. Did we accomplish our beer goal, by the way?
I did. I got my two in.
I'm on my third.
There you
Good
go.
Good night. I'm a...
You're so stealthy with your pores there, Eric.
No doubt. No, I thought, you know, he was talking the whole time.
I didn't want to have it interrupting anything.
So I noticed, I'm looking at your window in the background. I've noticed like the birds perching, you know, as we were talking. And so it looks like, is that a lake out behind your?
Yeah.
Okay.
I live on the water.
Nice. I like that.
It's amazing. I'm not used to this. You can see. You know, I'm literally surrounded. I'm on the Black River Bay right before Lake Ontario. Yep. So the Black River is like this crazy ass river that, you know, you got to be like a level 5 kayaker to go down it, you know, whatever the hell that means. I've never gone down the hard part. My little area is nice and calm because it's right before it hits Lake Ontario. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm used to when I grew up, it was like you could put your arms out and touch the houses, you know, that's the I'm city guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so when I moved out here, I was like, man, this is crazy. I go out and there's swans and ducks and stuff out there. Like I got deer rolling up, foxes, and it's right. Wild. You know,
that's the power of sales, baby. Right there.
Yeah.
That's right. Write your own ticket. Write your own ticket.
That, you know what? I tell people that all the time. Sales is the one job where you write your own paycheck.
Yeah. There's your next book title right there.
Yep. Well, I do have another book. I'm going to say one last thing before I go. You mentioned the you know, comics. They go out and they do their and they find out what works. And a lot of times they do this right before they're doing their Netflix special, or back in the day it was the HBO special.
Right.
So I was like doing this to get my next book. Oh, that went well. I'm going to put that in the book. And then COVID hit, and it's like, now I'm not talking anymore. I'm not going out and doing speeches. And it's like, damn, I think I got 126 pages. So, you know, I got to get back out there, which I will be speaking at the Fit Pro Growth Summit May 21st, which is in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's the first one since COVID.
First one. Wow. Over a year. Well over a year.
Side thing. I went out to dinner I went out to dinner twice this last week. I'm in Austin, Texas. And I got physical menus both times.
Wow.
No more QR codes. No QR we are making progress, people.
I didn't think Texas did anything. They were just like, whatever, man.
No,
which I love, you know, Texas. Well,
Austin's a little more
New York.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Thank you.
They
thank
might
you
run you out of town for saying that. Don't you better watch out now. You're there's a mark on you.
There's
now.
Plenty of room in Texas outside Austin, so I'm fine.
Yeah, I love Texas. It was funny you in the beginning of this. You talked about how it's 13 hours from one to the next. Years ago, I did a tour with a band, and so we toured the whole U.S. And so we did some dates in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing literally like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the whole deal. And you get to Texas. And you're like, wait a second, it's 10 hours from one to the next. Like, we can't sleep tonight because it's not like New York where it's like, oh, 2 hours later, we're here. And then Massachusetts, 4 hours later, we're here.
Yeah,
it's like a whole three states, basically, that we're covering in Texas.
Yeah, when I did in-home sales, I covered everything north of I-20, also I-10. So from El Paso to the Louisiana, Texas border, which that strip, that's the two widest points, it's like 15 hours across. And then everything north up into Lubbock and Amarillo, a lot of small towns, a lot of face-to-face kitchen tables. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I did that for about 2 years. That was quite the education. So
2 years is like 20 when you're selling vacuum cleaners, man.
I wasn't vacuum cleaner. I was selling financial products, but still like,
oh, how long did you do the vacuum cleaners thing?
I did that like in college also. So Cutco knives and some other stuff, but you know, so
best education in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Buy this vacuum cleaner. I'm going to cut you with this knife.
Yeah. Sell both at the same time. All right, Jonathan, I'll let you take us out.
Eric, it's been fun, man. Enjoyed having you on. And like I said, I'll shoot you a link once we have this published on Monday, early next week, man.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys having me. First podcast I ever did where I could drink beer.
That's right. That's
right. And by the way, I told my wife, I'm now the new co-host and we do a show every day. So at 4:30, I start drinking. It was perfect.
Thumbs up. Well, man, thanks for bringing a good beer on. I'll have to take note of that and see if I can find it from your rating. If you gave it a five, anybody that gives a five, I'm hunting that bad boy
down. Hunt it down.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed. I only got four, and I'm almost done. I think I need to do.
Keep going, man. Keep going.
All right, we'll let you go, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, good stuff. Good
absolutely
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, to all of our listeners out there, you can find us persuasionbythepint.com. Sean, we might break this one up again like we do because that's a pretty lengthy one. So
we're getting into Tim Garrison territory now. I'm
part one,
you.
Part two. Yeah, exactly.
Long form, baby.
persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your platforms, Stitcher, iHeart, you name it. We got it. We're there. And leave us some reviews while you're there. And we'll see you on the next episode. We've got a good one coming up.
All right. See ya.